What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
It probably differs a little bit within each phase. You know, offense may do just a little bit more or a little bit less one week, but I mean, really we're hovering around 0-1, I would say, in particular in the first game, because I'm just a big believer in allowing these young players to play, not have to worry about, you know, the volume of a game plan, and we get a better feel for who they are as football players when we can just watch them react and play fast and not have to think. We'll move on from here and graduate a little bit. But even still, I mean, we don't do a lot. Every team's a little bit different. We don't do a lot as it relates to game planning in the preseason.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott there in the postgame. My favorite answer he gave in the postgame. He talked for a good bit there. Not anything crazy, but for a good bit. But I think it's also, it's nice to hear a coach just outright say that. They don't game plan for every team. It is much more for the preseason about reacting and just, you know, being in the right spots, you know, when called upon, that kind of stuff. They are not going to be prepared for the ins and outs of what the Giants did last year. There simply is no point. The games don't matter. And to McDermott's point, they just want to see how guys are reacting. And I think you can put that to, you know, how bad they were on third downs and how they were a little shaky to start on offense. They're just kind of going out there and doing things. Now, he did say they'll graduate a little bit more, but even then it still won't be a ton.
It will still be about what I was saying. Can you get some athletic plays, some high point plays from players that you want to see promise from? Can you get, for example, in the film room, can I get Elijah Moore breaking open down the middle of the seam?
Mm-hmm.
Can I get TJ Sanders registering a couple quarterback hits, showing me that I've got a defensive lineman that can actually get home?
Yep.
Can I get Deion Walker with that fantastic inside move to then cause a pass deflection that, if it takes some fortunate bounce and the player sees it coming, that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
Can I get more plays from Jordan Hancock, like an interception like that, that it works great in the film room, just didn't translate to on the field because someone lined up incorrectly. But in the film room today, DBs, probably loving that one. Tip drill, go and get it. Make opportunities happen. That all has to do with reacting, making plays the way that you're able to.
803-0550, the number to call. Your thoughts on game number one of the preseason for the Bills. They do fall to the Giants 34-25. Next up for the Bills, it's going to be two straight road games. This week, it's Chicago on Sunday. It'll be a night game. The Bills will also be having a joint practice with the Bears later on this week. And let's get connected to our fans. That is brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Dan tweets in, and this is something we have not mentioned, and this is absolutely right. We got out without major injury. Nothing else really matters to me in the preseason.
And that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's probably one of the bigger ones, especially the Bills have been dealing with injuries, to some extent minor, to maybe a little bit more than minor, throughout camp. And to come out of this with was Jenkins had a laceration, but he ultimately was able to come in. And then Taron Johnson ultimately just gets checked for a concussion. He's fine, and that's the extent of it? That's a pretty good day.
Especially considering we even took a call on it earlier. The Turf Monster was out and about on Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Players are slipping, and he said the caller said, you know, that soft tissue injuries happen from those sorts of things. Not wrong.
That's why no one wants to play at MetLife.
Yeah.
That's why no one likes playing there. You want to talk about why Super Bowl's never gone back there. Maybe not the cold weather. It's the fact.
Oh, it's actually the field.
It might be the field,
right.
Actually.
That's actually a really good point.
A bunch of people are like, absolutely not.
Yeah,
Baby cold? No.
Mm-mm. Yep.
And the way the Jets and Giants play, no one's played on that for
also,
a month and a half by the time the Super Bowl rolls around.
You can kind of say it about another stadium. It's domed, but like Detroit.
Detroit?
Detroit hasn't had one in a long time. You want to know why?
Could be the field.
Their turf monster.
Could actually be the field. Less so about the city, and they're more like, I'm not, no.
It's the field. The players don't want to play on that.
Yeah. You very rarely get major injuries in the Super Bowl.
Odell Beckham Jr. is one that I think about. Like, he tears his ACL in the Super Bowl. Is it Greenlaw for the 49ers?
Dre Greenlaw, yeah.
Yep. Like, and that's kind of the only ones I can really think. I could be completely forgetting someone obvious, but those are the two that come to mind, and they're kind of the only ones in my mind. 803-0550, the number to call. Want to jump on the show today. One thing I do want to talk about, Derek, that does not part, you know, has nothing to do with the Bills, but I'm so fascinated by it. The Shedeur Sanders stuff.
Solid game.
I was locked in the entire time. I found myself getting really excited once he was named the starter, and then we found out he was going to play, you know, a good majority of the game because it was basically just him and Huntley that were healthy and or were ever planning on playing. And he looked good. I'm not saying he looked great, but he looked comfortable. He made some really dynamic throws. His first touchdown pass was perfection. Second one, he's moving the pocket around. It looks good. It did not blow me away in terms of, like, guys, how's he not a first-round pick? Not that. And he had some, you know, goofy rookie mistakes, you know, the whole running backwards 15 yards.
Right.
You know, not great. But here. I'm going to go a long way in saying this. Let's say he puts another good preseason game together, or even just two. Like, he looks good the entire preseason. In all seriousness.
That chatter gets a lot louder.
And on this, though, what is the harm of playing him?
Well, at that point, you've won the job.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that's how you sell it to the team, is he won the job.
He looks good. Well, and so that's the thing too. Like, I am going to be, with great interest, following Browns reporters of, like, okay, is now Flacco's first team reps starting to get split with Shedeur? Or is it, like, in any kind of capacity? They took two quarterbacks in this draft. Dylan Gabriel in the third, Shedeur in the fifth. Gabriel has not been able to play. He got the hamstring injury, so, like, we'll see if, you know, he himself could look great, and this conversation can go completely into the toilet.
Or it can go sideways on its head.
Right. But for me, and the way I look at it, and I'm always in some way looking at the marketability for any kind of move, it's why teams, no matter your draft position, if you're the first-round pick, they'll play over the sixth-round pick most of the time, unless, you know, desperate needs. The first-round player is marketable until they're not, right?
Right.
The Bills played Benford and Elam in the first game of the year out of necessity. But for many teams, Elam gets the first crack at this. Or the first-round pick gets the first crack at this.
The first-round pick does get the first crack at anything, no matter what it typically is. However, you're now looking at a player that was seen by some as a first-round pick, was annoyingly talked about through the entire weekend by a certain draft analyst.
Mel Kiper, I'll say it. Yeah, Mel Kiper.
But the thing is that there is actually legitimate hype around the player to a point where it matches almost a first or a second round pick, because that's where he was projected.
Mm-hmm.
Then he falls several rounds later.
And it almost felt deliberate by the NFL. At a certain point, it felt like they were trying to, like, teach a kid a lesson, and quote unquote.
I don't know what lesson has to be learned, but also, if this is how it goes and you win a job, there's a much different light about him all of a sudden, to where he is incredibly marketable all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to a point of, teams, why did you do what you did?
Yeah, why did it take to the fifth round? And to some reports, an owner forcing his team to draft a guy. Now, they did actually trade up for him, so that's probably not true. But there was, I would imagine there were some rumblings of, Haslam likes the guy, we should go get him.
And at the same time, though, you're also a team that did it actively. Mm-hmm. You took a player that most people thought shouldn't even be touching the third round.
I mean, I think I mentioned it on air during the draft on day three. When we got around to the fifth round, I was like, I wouldn't be against the Bills in the sixth round swinging for
you
it.
You and I got to that point. Mainly
because people know how I feel about backup quarterbacks. I want at least some juice.
You want some fun.
I want some fun, but I want some juice too, because here, perfect example. Josh Allen doesn't play preseason game number one for the Bills, and I think we're heading towards he won't play game two or three.
Right. Again, but for the second straight year.
Yeah, but if they had Shedeur Sanders back there instead of Mitch Trubisky or Mike White playing a majority of the snaps in the first half, and he completes the Tyrell Shavers pass, or he does hit Elijah Moore and it's a touchdown, what have you. All of a sudden, that's what I've been talking about, the trade piece.
Mm-hmm.
And he would play all three preseason games.
Tanner McKee.
Tanner McKee for the Eagles. Far less interesting, but around NFL circles, I know Jordan Schultz has tweeted about this, there is a lot of love there with him.
Even less so. Joe Milton, last year.
Oh, man. That's,
who is now almost becoming a bit of a Bills folk hero of sorts.
He's also a meme, but yeah, he's a bit of a folk hero.
Thank you for making sure the Patriots did not get either Travis Hunter nor Abdul Carter. Thank you. Really. Or a bunch of picks and still landing one of those two, actually.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. Really appreciate that one, Joe Milton. Thank you for your service.
Man, he's Nolan Ryan at quarterback. Did you see any of the highlights from him with Dallas? No touch.
He rockets everything.
Just, I mean, fireball, fastball. He's a Aroldis Chapman, Nolan Ryan at quarterback. It's unbelievable to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, he's raw.
Yeah. And
what's funny is then the action that got everyone excited about him was last year's preseason and then his final game against Buffalo. And then with Dallas, the first preseason game, you're like, oh, this is not.
Wait, they traded for this?
This is not great.
Yeah.
This is not awesome.
You traded for all fastballs all the time?
Yeah, but the Sanders stuff, for me, it very quickly becomes, if he is solid in the preseason, you are a team that does not have high expectations. No matter what you're going to say internally, there are likely not high expectations.
Right.
You have a 41-year-old starting quarterback, and it's Joe Flacco. The expectations can only get so high. I feel this way in almost every sport, and I know the old adage used to be the opposite. I don't believe that. If it's close to a tie or a tie between the vet and the rookie, I favor the rookie every single time. And it becomes more aggressive at the quarterback position. I need them to have reps. I need to know as soon as humanly possible if I can start moving forward with them. And for Cleveland especially, you drafted two of them in the third and the fifth round, Dillon Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders. If you're bad this year, you need to know if, did we just get Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson in the later rounds of the draft? And we don't have to use maybe the second overall pick on a Cade Klubnik, a Drew Aller, whoever ends up becoming one of these quarterbacks. You need
to
know.
Especially because you have two. But the problem with that is also going to be you have two of them.
Yeah.
Are you going to move on too quickly from one to get to the other?
Right. But this is where also your best ability is your availability. Shedeur was not getting, at least from most reports that I was seeing, a ton of reps. To the point where there was kind of a ridiculous story of, are the Browns trying to tank him, essentially. Yeah. But Gabriel picks up a hamstring. It sucks. But Shedeur took advantage. Pickett's banged up. Pickett, number one, I think most of us assume would just not be on the roster. They would roll with Flacco and the two rookies. But now maybe they don't.
I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking that Cleveland probably takes Pickett, Flacco, and...
Oh, and one of the rookies.
And one of the rookies, and you practice squad the other, based on who it might be.
With the hope and prayer that one of them isn't picked up.
Yeah. Because... why would you? Especially if camp was going the way that it was. Sanders isn't even getting a lot of opportunity. What are you really losing?
Yeah, and if he gets picked up, it's like, okay, cool. Now he's like somebody else's problem.
But now Sanders is getting this opportunity, and he's earning the right to make it a conversation. On a roster where if you have six quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks.
They do have six. Oh, my goodness. They do have six. That's right.
That is the other thing about this opportunity that is really going to become more and more interesting throughout the preseason.
How do you even divvy up reps? I mean, how do you even do that?
And, well, one of them is out for, you know.
But then it's down to five guys, and it's the same question.
It's the same thing. That's why Sanders isn't getting reps. And they signed the extra one, by the way, because there's injuries.
Yeah, there's two injuries.
So they were already in a mess with reps. What do you do now if people start getting healthy? Well, my first answer is you cut Huntley.
Oh, yeah.
But my second one is, what do I do about Flacco, even. If Sanders looks like this, do I bother trotting a 41-year-old quarterback out there?
No, and that's my whole point. What am I learning here? My team might win seven games. Cool with Flacco. Great. But with Sanders, they might also win seven games. But it could save jobs. There could be a little hope in the city. You'll be relevant in Cleveland, and you're not good. Like that's a thing I think Buffalo fans could intimately understand, is that when small market teams are bad, even in the NFL, you are a forgotten kid at the bus stop. I mean, you're there, sure, but no one cares.
No one cares.
Detroit, for a long time, just happy to be an NFL franchise. Jacksonville, we're just happy the franchise is still here. Buffalo, we're just happy the franchise is still here. Cleveland, to that extent, because they also were moved once, but they had a little blip of a moment where they were really interesting in the recent years. Then Baker's you know, then they move off of Baker. They do the Watson thing. That's a disaster.
And now this they've could got be, six quarterbacks on the roster.
Yeah, this could be a way of, like, good vibes around them. I know Shador's not the most overly popular player. Again, we kind of bashed him a little bit during our draft coverage as well for how he handled the pre-draft process.
It was more of a mystery
stuff.
Of what did you
yeah,
do?
What did you do? How bad could it have been? But again, me, who is not the biggest Shador Sanders fan, was locked into a preseason game because he was playing.
And it is generating a different kind of hype, too. I think that's the other part of this, is that now you're also going to look at the teams that didn't take him and go, okay, what did you miss on? Or how did you miss on like this? Because if New Orleans trots Spencer Rattler out there week one as a starter.
It's looking like they're going to.
And Cleveland has Shador Sanders starting. You look at Mickey Loomis and go, how do you still have a job?
Well, and so to that point, New Orleans isn't necessarily a small market, but they can be a forgettable franchise when they're bad. They were bad for most of their lives up until Breeze and Peyton. And instead they take Tyler Shuck in the second round. It's looking like he won't even win the QB competition.
Which, great pick there, guys.
And with New Orleans especially, too, you could have taken Sanders, still been bad, but at least been relevant for a while.
You could have been relevant at least for the year while being bad.
Yeah. And instead, now you're not even that, really. And who is Tyler Shuck except for a 25-year-old that had one good year of college football, and that was the end of his college football career?
Yeah.
And then now, in preseason, or well, in training camp as well, it does not sound like he's having a good camp.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
He was fine in a preseason game. He had a pick six and a touchdown. But
his most notable thing was that he held out with the rest of the second rounders looking for guaranteed money.
Yeah, because the assumption was he'll be the starter. And
yeah.
now here we are. I look at it and it's a lot of fun at the idea of, after all of this, Sanders actually maybe the more, I don't say logical start, because that is probably not true. The more logical one, if you want to win games, is probably 41-year-old Joe Flacco. But with the assumption that they won't be very good, they probably won't win games, it would be better to, let's see what we have in Sanders.
If you want to operate the season on what do you have in Sanders, you can then look at it as, hey, I got Flacco as my backup in case things are turning
south. Go haywire,
yep. You know, it's our safe option, or you can just roll with Pickett. That's when you get to, if Sanders wins the job, then you're rolling with two rookies and one of those vets, not both.
Yeah.
If Sanders continues to play well, if he doesn't, that's when I think you're probably trying to, honestly, you're probably cutting ties with your third rounder now.
Right. And look, that's its own thing.
That's its own asset mismanagement. But
I mean, I remember the Raiders did that a few years ago. Lynn Bowden Jr.,
yep.
Third round pick. They caught him in camp. And I think Miami picks him up and never been heard of again. But it also wouldn't be. You picked a quarterback that was going to be a backup in the third round. Like, that's already not the best asset management.
It's already
in the world.
Bad asset management in a deep defensive class.
Yeah, and where you also kind of just need talent everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's already not great asset management. Doing it twice is almost malpractice. So maybe ultimately, to a certain extent, one of them has to get cut. Just as we've mentioned, they've got five quarterbacks on the roster. When the season rolls around, Watson's really not a part of it, so it's going to be four, maybe three.
And you avoid the moving on from one of the players' evaluation too quickly to just look to see if you have something in the other.
Yeah.
Why not give a full season to that player instead, release the other one, cut bait, and then you get answers.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, based on what I know with the draft profile of Dylan Gabriel, move on from the third round pick.
Yeah, there's going to be people that love Gabriel. I don't understand it. If the Bills had drafted Gabriel and people wanted to push that was, hey, it's exciting. No, it's not.
They drafted a quarterback.
It's Jake Fromm. There's no upside here.
But
he played a lot of college football. There's no elite athletic trait. There's no elite trait outside of he played a lot of college football. Sanders at least has a very good arm. He's athletic enough, actually. Like, I walked away from that going, okay, there's escapability there. And he also played a lot of college football.
I'll take a moment real quick to get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Mike D. tweeting in, and I really like this. You keep Flacco to teach the rookie quarterbacking the NFL. Just like the Bills did with Josh, it's smart to have a guy teach the QB role outside of the game itself. Good on Sanders for playing so good.
I will say on Flacco, though, and Mike may not have seen this clip.
That's right.
Flacco was asked about this.
Flacco does not care to do it.
Pretty much outright said, I'm not here to be a teacher. I'm here to play quarterback and to win games. I'm paraphrasing you. This is not an exact quote. This is back in, I think, mandatory minicamp.
Yep.
But he kind of pushed back on that. Now, to that extent, though, for many of us, sometimes the best teacher is just watching somebody do something. I mean, we hear quarterbacks talk about that all the time, just watching another guy and how they operate.
Yes.
In college, we hear that all the time. That could absolutely be it. And that could be the kind of teacher Flacco
might not be actively teaching, but he may be doing it passively, and Sanders is trying to be a good student, for example.
And he is.
That is a good thing. I start to wonder, though, the viability of why the heck are you going to bother keeping a guy who, A, won't actively teach to see if you've got something in the commodity that you drafted that is earning his way up the depth chart.
Yep.
And B, has no long-term standing in the National Football League.
Yeah.
I do like the premise of the tweet overall, though, but like...
I think it's the perfect world. That's what you're hoping for.
Yes, but also...
That's what you're hoping for.
But also, Joe Flacco signed here with no intention of being a backup.
No.
He probably would say, if I don't have the job... Cut me.
To be fair, look how Cleveland's treating it. Cleveland is treating it as he's our starter. Why would we? He's not going to play the preseason. He's going to get all the first team. He's going to start week one.
Which I think is a mistake.
Now, I do wonder, and this is another thing too, and to get back to Bills Giants a little bit here. Do we know how safe Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry's job is?
Nope.
And so on that. And it's the same with the Giants. We kind of know Dable and Shane's job in New York is probably not safe for either of them, especially after the hard knock stuff, especially after making the playoffs, winning a game, cratering hard. That's where I go to, then play the rookie. I think it is one of the worst things an ownership group can do is firing a coach the year after a rookie plays. Because I'll always say, fire a coach and then bring in the rookie.
You want to start together. That's kind
you
of...
You have to start together or at least get close to that. The worst thing the Bears could have done for Caleb Williams...
Was let Eberflus
was keeping Eberflus in his rookie year. You should have fired the coach, got a coach early, and build towards taking Caleb Williams. Whoever you wanted to. The worst thing you can do is changing coaches. It's also somewhat of a negative for Drake May. You had Jerod Mayo, now you've got Vrabel. Now we all, I think, pretty much unanimously believe Vrabel is going to be better than Mayo. So that may be a positive there.
But you do need to be careful on the... Did he come here just because he wanted to be back in the Patriots organization, or is he actually sold on Drake May?
Or is he actually sold?
There's going to be a little bit of a problem, maybe a kickback on that sort of thing. Miami does this to a Tagovailoa, where Brian Flores effectively keeps benching him.
Yeah, it saves his career, actually.
And the thing about it is, Flores then leaves. You need to make sure you get a coach that wants the player.
Mm-hmm.
And McDaniel does seem to want the player. As a matter of fact, the system seems to really fall off the ledge when Tua's not in the lineup.
It seems like it relies on Tua being the quarterback.
It plays to his strengths, actually. But if you don't do that, Tua, A, doesn't get his extension, but B, Miami's already moving on.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving on from a coach in year 2-3 of a rookie quarter or a young quarterback is fine. I mean that very sensitive period of it's your first full offseason now of being the guy, and we're going to take everything away. Because very rarely is any of the coaching staff staying if the head coach is fired. It's going to be like a new staff entirely. The team did not draft you. They are probably not going to be married to you. And it's so early in your development that you needed the comfort from the team, but you needed to know you're going to be the guy, that everything's around you. They are building toward you. The Bears have tried to do that, even with Eberflus. We'll see how that goes. But to the Giants and Cleveland's point, too, not knowing how safe either Stefanski or Dable are, it's where if I'm a Giants fan, after one game, I am probably pushing harder for Jackson Dart. And internally, there is probably a feeling of we need to start the kid as fast as possible. Because even if we're bad, we can argue. And to a certain extent, successfully, we're building with the rookie quarterback. We're building for our future. And if Dart shows you anything positive, and he did on Saturday,
he did,
you go with him over Russell Wilson.
Even Tennessee is not safe from this. They take Ward first overall. I don't know if Callahan's made for this.
No idea. Look, but, you know, and to a certain extent.
Say the Titans have another terrible season.
Yeah.
It's not a zero chance that they fire him, too.
Yeah. But even with Cleveland, Baker Mayfield, Freddie Kitchens.
Yep.
And the Hugh Jackson stuff there. It's one of the worst things you can do. It's a lot like a marriage trying to save itself by having a baby. It's one for one for me. The marriage is a disaster, but we think a kid's going to save it. It almost never does. My coach is a disaster. We're not going anywhere, but we're going to take a young quarterback. This is going to save us. It very rarely works.
Right.
There are the exceptions that just they hit. They're perfect. The number one overall pick, what have you.
Right.
But there are more often than not, it's we're in a really bad situation, and now we're just drowning, and we maybe have just ruined a career as well to try to save ours. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get back to Bills and Giants after this quick timeout, read some of your tweets, and also get your thoughts on the phone on what you thought of game number one of the Bills preseason. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, here in the Northtown Automotive X Point.